Chapter 22. It would have been simpler to take a tray down to the mess hall and order breakfast from one of Eclipse's military food processors, but Mara was grilling dust crepes and gnossage, a Tatooine favorite, over the single therm pad assigned to the Skywalker living quarters. Hardly a chef under the best of circumstances, she had somehow browned the dust crepes and puffed the gnossage. But she refused to admit defeat. Fetching breakfast would have meant opening the door to the rest of the base, and after a rare full night in her husband's company, a night through which Ben had slept blissfully, Mara wanted Luke to herself for just a few minutes more. R2-D2 whistled from the other side of the work counter, then ran an urgent message across the sitting room vidscreen. "There's no reason to alert emergency control," she said. "This isn't a fire." R2-D2 tweedled an objection. "This isn't cooking, it's heating," Mara growled. "Any suggestion otherwise will earn you a memory wipe. Clear?" R2-D2 trilled scornfully, then fell silent. Mara looked down to see the gnossage in her makeshift skillet collapsing into black crumbs. Luke picked that moment to emerge from the refresher, pulling a fresh tunic over his wet hair. "Smells good." He popped a morsel of blackened gnossage into his mouth, somehow avoiding a sour face and nodding in approval. "Just like we used to make back home."
"Really?"
Mara asked doubtfully. "And I always thought the reason you left Tatooine was to join the rebellion and save the galaxy." Luke maintained a deadpan expression. "No, it was the food. Definitely the food." He took a rubbery dust crepe and began to chew, rolling his eyes as though he were enjoying a bowl of green Thakatillo. Disarmed as always by Luke's humble good nature, Mara laughed and leaned across the counter to kiss him. To everyone else on Eclipse, he might be the enigmatic Jedi Master and the last best hope for an imperiled galaxy, but to her, he was the gentle husband who always knew what to say, the unassuming moisture farmer who had seen value in her when she could not find it herself. Even knowing of all the things she had done in Palpatine's service, all the lies told and the lives taken, he had accepted her first as a peer, then a friend, and finally, after it had dawned on Mara that the Force was steering them toward a very different relationship than the one envisioned by Emperor Palpatine, a lover and a spouse. She pulled away from her husband's lips and smiled. "For last night." Luke glanced across the room to where Ben was sleeping in his crib, watched over by an updated version of the same TDL nanny droid that had tended Anakin and the twins when they were young, and did not need to say what he was thinking. Mara took his hand and started toward the sleeping chamber. They had almost reached the door when R2-D2 whistled for their attention. Mara did not even turn around.
"Not now, R2.
R2-D2 whistled again, then sent a live feed of the hangar to the sitting room vidscreen. Mara glimpsed the Shadow and Falcon sitting with a dozen other large vessels on the far side of the cavernous bay, where several support technicians were jockeying blast boats to make room for an arriving ship. The central area was packed with 70 new XJ-3 X-Wings that Admiral Creefay had quietly rotated out of his fleet onto Eclipse, while Saba Sebatine's motley assortment of starfighters and Kip Duron's battle-scarred X-Wings sat untended and inaccessible on the close side of the hangar. The picture zoomed in on the area between the new X-Wings and the older starfighters. Corran Horn stood surrounded by pilots from Kip's Dozen, the Wild Knights, and the Shockers. This last squadron was Eclipse's own, made up equally of untested Jedi and space-blooded non-Jedi veterans. The three leaders, Kip Duron, Saba Sebatine, and the non-Jedi Riggard Mattel, were all talking at once while an impatient-looking Corran Horn stood looking into the ceiling holocam. Luke sighed, then asked Mara, "Do you mind?"
"I'll mind more if we don't win this war," she said.
"Corran might seem rigid and moralistic, but he's not the sort who calls for help unless he needs it. R2, give us some sound." Kip Duron's impatient voice came over the speaker. "Don't see what we're waiting for. Maybe Danny will figure out how to jam the Yamasks, and maybe she won't, but in the meantime, the Yuuzhan Vong have Anakin and the others. Like most pilots who had not promised to remain at Eclipse, Kip had not yet been informed that the strike team's capture was a ruse. While we train, they move deeper into Yuuzhan Vong territory.
We'll go after them when Master Skywalker says we go after them, Corrin replied. Until then, we sit tight and wait for orders.
Orders? Kip scoffed. This isn't the military, Corrin.
Jedi don't wait for orders while the enemy carries their friends off for sacrifice.
Perhaps not. But they don't rush into battle ill-prepared, Riggard said. A former TIE pilot with a battle-scarred face nearly as gruesome as a Yuuzhan Vong's, Riggard hated war with a passion, yet somehow found himself fighting on one side or the other, and sometimes both, in every major galactic conflict since the rebellion.
We're waiting for more to fall in place than Danny's research on gravitic modulation. We don't want to lock in our cards until everything's ready.
It is locking in the cards that worries this one.
Saba 17 addressed this to the holocam, making clear that she was speaking directly to Luke.
She is thinking that when someone sticks an arm out too far, she is liable to lose a hand.
Blasters, Luke hissed.
Echoing a curse Mara had not heard since Jaina and Jason were at the Jedi Academy.
Kip again.
Better get down there, Mara said, reaching across the work counter for her comlink. I'll let Corrin know we're coming.
Mara and Luke dressed and, leaving instructions with the nanny droid to calm them when Ben woke, left for the hangar bay. They had to bundle themselves in thermal cloaks, for the base's cooling system was working too well now. The corridors were in constant danger of icing over. As they twined their way through the passages, Mara sensed the disharmony welling up inside Luke, though their bond was not quite deep enough for her to read his thoughts all the time. She knew he was once again struggling with the difficulties of leadership and family. In a time when the Jedi needed him most, he was worried that Mara's recovery, as mysterious as the disease itself, would not hold. In a time when he needed to be at her side learning to be a good father, he was struggling to hold the fractious Jedi together and find the wisest course along which to guide them. They rounded a corner and started down the passage toward the big emergency airlock outside the hangar bay, and Mara took his hand.
Skywalker, sometimes I think I should just kick you in the head.
Not looking all that surprised, Luke glanced over at her.
Really?
Mara waved a hand at the hangar ahead.
Everything you're doing with the Jedi, it is for us.
She palmed the airlock's control pad, and its hatch irised open.
Ben is strong in the Force. I know you felt it, too.
Luke nodded.
I have.
So the Jedi must win this war, Mara said. If we don't, where will Ben be safe?
Luke stopped, and Mara felt the disharmony in him melting away. He motioned her into the airlock.
I hadn't thought of it quite like that.
Of course not. You're too selfless.
She opened the door to the hangar.
But I'm not. Now, are you going to set Kip and Saba straight, or am I?
She felt Luke's smile in the back of her head.
I'd better do it myself. It wouldn't be fair to let you loose on them.
Fair?
Mara echoed.
What makes you think I care about fair?
They stepped out of the airlock and walked down a clear path to the gathering of pilots. Danny Kui had also joined the group, no doubt summoned the instant Saba learned Luke was coming. Convinced the strike team could never withstand the breaking, she had been pressing Luke to send a backup mission almost since the Wild Knight's return from Arcania. Luke had yet to rule out the possibility, in part because he feared Saba would take her squadron and attempt the mission herself, but also because he worried Danny was right. Corrin stepped aside, yielding his place at the head of the gathering, to Luke. Luke allowed a note of irritation to creep into his voice and focused only on Corrin.
Corrin, what's happening here? Why aren't you analyzing the morning exercise?
Corin's eyes betrayed surprise at Luke's stern tone, but he stiffened his bearing. "Master Skywalker, our exercise came to an early end when the Lady Luck entered the system. It should be arriving shortly."
Luke heard Han and Leia approaching, and, with a dart of his eyes, sent Mara to intercept them. The sense of purpose he felt from her confirmed that she understood what she needed to do.
As Mara departed, Luke continued to look at Corin. "I don't understand."
His voice remained even but firm.
"If Lando was in trouble, what are you doing here?"
Saba Sebatine stepped forward.
"It is not Jedi Horn's fault, Master Skywalker. This one left."
Luke raised his brow and waited.
"This one wanted to hear how it went."
"How what went?" Kip demanded, completely ignorant of the part Lando had played in Anakin's capture. "Somebody had better tell me what's going on around here before I take the dozen and leave."
Luke stepped toward Kip. "How can we tell you anything when you are always so ready to leave us?"
Kip frowned, then glanced over his shoulder at his pilots.
"Are you saying you can't trust us?" "It isn't a matter of trust," Luke replied.
He let the statement hang and continued to study Kip as Han and Leia came up behind him. Neither spoke, and they both fixed silent gazes on Kip. Finally, Kip looked from Luke to Saba.
"Saba knows what this is all about," he complained, "and she isn't promising to stay."
"Saba has a right to know. Her son is with Anakin," Luke said. "So are her apprentices."
Kip considered this for a moment, then turned to Saba.
"We don't have to take this, you know. We can go after them ourselves."
Han shook his head.
"No, kid, you can't."
He pointed at the blast doors.
"You can take the dozen and leave if you like, but you can't go after Anakin and the twins. Not if friendship means anything to you."
A look of stunned confusion came over Kip. "Those are your kids, Han. You should want us to go after them."
"I want them back alive," Han said, "and that's not going to happen if you go after them."
"Depending on what Lando Calrissian has to report,"
Saba corrected.
"If he has learned through his Villip that the breaking worked."
"There won't be a backup mission," Luke said.
He saw Han stiffen and felt Leia's dismay through the Force, but Mara had prepared them well enough that they betrayed no other sign of concern.
"The strike team must succeed or fail on its own. Even if we could reach them, we'll be too busy with other things."
"Strike team?"
Kip looked to Han for enlightenment.
"What other things?"
"Sorry, Kip. You'll have to ask Luke."
Ever the gambler, Han sweetened the pot. "There's too much at risk for me to talk out of turn." Kip looked back to Luke. "Have you figured out what that feint at Arcania was about?
Are we finally going to take the war to the Yuuzhan Vong?"
Luke fought to keep a deadpan face.
"I don't know that we are going to do anything."
As he spoke, the Lady Luck appeared outside the hangar door and hovered on the other side of the magnetic containment field while the technicians moved the last vessel, Tendra Rysant Calrissian's gentleman caller, out of the way.
"If you want to be part of this, I need your promise."
Kip looked wary. "What kind of promise?"
"An oath of allegiance. What kind do you think?"
Han asked, his tone almost angry.
"You promise to obey Luke and do what he says as long as he'll have you. If you won't do that, pack your bags and get out now."
Han paused, and his tone grew a little more gentle.
"It's time you started acting like a Jedi Knight."
Kip's eyes flared at the admonition. Luke thought for a moment. Han had overplayed his hand, but, as usual, the Corellian knew how far to press a bet. Kip's gaze slowly softened, and something fatherly in Han seemed to get through to him. He turned to his pilots.
"What do you think?" Do we throw in with the Jedi and pretend like we're in a real space navy?
You know what we want,
an insectoid Verpine pilot buzzed, one whose name Luke was ashamed to realize he did not know.
As long as we fight Yuuzhan Vong.
Kip looked to the rest of his squadron. When they voiced similar sentiments, he turned and nodded to Han.
Okay, we promise. Not me, kid.
Han quietly pointed to Luke. He's the boss around here. Kip's face reddened, but he swallowed his pride and turned to Luke. You have our oath, Master Skywalker. We'll stay as long as you'll have us.
And follow orders?
This from Corran Horn. Kip made a sour face.
If we have to.
You do.
Luke saw the Lady Luck drifting into the docking bay and turned to Saba Sebatine.
How about the Wild Knights?
Of course, if the Jedi truly intend to carry the war to the invaders,
Saba said.
So you have determined the War Master's purpose in fainting at Arcania?
We're still working on that, Luke said. But we are going to carry the war to the Yuuzhan Vong. I would never have risked your son and apprentices if we weren't.